Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Linda Moulton Howe as she is uncovering a little investigation that occurred in Brazil where a farmer there just somehow, while he was in bed, just kind of like floated through his ceiling and left an imprint of his body, and then claims that he was in a spaceship and somehow floated back down again, plopped right back down in the bed, And he physically, Linda, is okay, isn't he?
Yes. He says that he never sustained any burns. And that night of September 15th, there were his cousins and his parents and some people who visited in that area. There were about 24 people at the farm, and after these rocks started falling on the roofs, and there was a guy named Fabricio da Silva from the nearby town, Rochita. He was in a little bed and breakfast place, and when he heard the sound, it scared him, and he grabbed his camera, and he ran out, and I have videotape where you hear some of these rocks hitting some of the roofs as he's running down, trying to find out what is happening. And you see people that are bending over down in the ground, lifting up these strange little round rocks, pointing up into the sky, pointing on the roofs where these are happening. And then they all ran about a quarter of a mile to where Uringer and his wife Jessica have a home with their two-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife and the son were away in Sao Paulo, specifically because Uringer Oliveira had told his family that these beings that he describes as being tall and blonde hair with blue eyes that have vertical pupils like a cat's, that have, according to him, have come in and out of his life. This would have been the fifth time in September since he was age 13, that they had communicated that they would come on or before 10 o'clock in the evening of September 15th, 2002, to take him once again for what he claims are educational purposes, that when he's on the craft, they show him screens with moving images that have to do with the Earth, with the solar system, with the galaxy, and with the universe. And for people who have studied anything about the human abduction syndrome, that goes back to the early 1960s, this is actually a common theme of people describing being taken into a craft where there are screens on walls and where they are shown by something that they consider to be non-human, either future events or past events having to do with this planet. So his description is really not outside of what has been reported for the last 40 years. But what is unique is the body pattern on the bed and in the ceiling,
mm-hmm,
and on that pillowcase.
Absolutely.
Which, as you can tell now, that the physical evidence that we are finding in the laboratories is extraordinary, and that in the previous half hour, what was the bottom line is that you could not take anything that had weight or pressure or even interacted with the fabric because it would flatten the polyester. And nowhere in the body pattern under the microscope, in any place it examined, is the polyester in any way deformed. It is a perfect thread shape, even where it is woven with cotton that is completely unaffected. And just before the break, I was about to ask Professor Barnt what he thinks after 35 years of working in textiles research.
All right.
Here we continue.
This is what it comes down to, doesn't
As
it?
You look at it now, close up, with all of your years of experience with fabric, what is kind of your bottom line residue about this?
Oh, I can't explain it. I mean, the only thing I can tell you is that there's obvious heat damage to the fabric. Surprisingly, the polyester has melted and the cotton has burned in some areas, but not all of them. It has the general shape, as you say, of a body. I'd be at a loss to explain how a body could have been present in the amount of heat that, that was required to do the damage that you see here and not suffer serious burns. So from a scientific standpoint, that's pretty much what I can tell you. I don't know exactly how this was done.
It seems to me that the more studies that people have done here on this, that whatever happened, it had to happen in seconds, not minutes.
The exposure of a particular area of the fabric has to be has to occur very quickly. Now, can someone with a heat source start down here and spend 20 minutes doing this? Perhaps, but the point is, if you have a heat source that's intense enough to melt the polyester and still not cause intense damage to the cotton, or at least some of the cotton, it has to move fairly quickly along this pattern. Neither happens, the whole thing all at once, or it has to be very carefully guided to get this effect without actually starting a fire of some kind.
Because really at 500 degrees Fahrenheit, which we have to be somewhere in that range,
mm-hmm.
that kind of exposure to this polyester and cotton blend for more than, say, a few, like 2 or 3 minutes, you would end up with a black, charred, probably tarry.
Oh, that kind of exposure, that kind of heat on this fabric you're talking about. No more than 10 seconds in any one area, probably. Otherwise, you'd ignite it.
You'd ignite it into fire.
Yeah.
Why isn't it all brown or all halo-like blue?
Excellent question. I don't know. Why is this area, which is presumably between the shoulders of the individual, why is it essentially undamaged?
Right. Right. That's a good question.
Was it, some kind of an energy that did this that we don't know anything about? I don't know the answer to that. I guess it's possible.
And on that night of September 15, 2002, the stones that fell down and that Fabricio da Silva videotaped, interestingly enough, many of the people told me when I was there, the Uringer Oliveira had forewarned them that these beings that had communicated with him somehow telepathically before this event, according to him, that he had told these people that one of the signals that he had gone would be what he says in Portuguese, a rain of rocks. And even though he had forewarned people, including his good friend Felipe Branco, who is a businessman in Brazil. His family has ranched and raised cattle and been in business there for three generations. Felipe Branco has become a friend of Uringer Oliveira's, and he remembered that Uringer had talked that there would be this rain of rocks, but he didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But at 7:30 that evening of September 15th, Felipe was driving in his truck in the road that comes into the farm when rocks started falling on his truck, and he could see them bouncing out into his headlights. And he still remembers that it was just, it was so amazing that he said it was stunning. He stopped the truck trying to imagine what in the world could be happening above. No one could see anything in the night sky.